This is a production of the White Dragon Podcast Network, WDPN, bringing you the very best in internet talk radio.
Please stand clear of the doors. Por favor, manténganse alejado de las puertas.
Welcome aboard the Walt Disney World Express Monorail, our highway in the sky. For those of you standing, please hold on to the handrails throughout our journey and stay clear of the doors. For the comfort of others, no smoking, please. Thank you.
Hey folks, you're listening to Two Men and the Mouse, episode 80 on the White Dragon Podcast Network, recorded live on August 31st, 2015. This is your everyday guide to the magic of Walt Disney World and the larger Disney universe beyond it. My name's Kevin Kessler, and I'm joined as always by my good buddy, Peter Mandel.
Kevin Kessler.
Peter Mandel.
How are you?
I'm doing good. How are you?
I'm good. I miss you. We haven't done the show.
Yeah. It was a little bit of we had an off week last week. Just couldn't get everything together and time to do the show, but we are back this week. It's episode 80, 20 away from 100, and we are ready and raring to go.
Folks, Let's do this.
Yeah, we are two lifelong Disney fanatics who have managed to keep the magic of Disney alive in our lives every day, and we want to share that magic with you. So, pull up a chair, gather the family, or pop in your favorite set of headphones. Let's experience the magic together. Pete!
Kevin, what's going on?
Not much. What's new? What'd you do this last week?
I don't know. We're winding down summer. Kids are getting ready for school. You know, it's that time of year.
Yeah, it definitely is. Florida kids are already back in school.
Right, yeah, they start early, right?
Which has led to a sharp decline in park attendance during the week, which has been very nice down here.
You know, I got to tell you this before we go any further. So one of my friends, a girl I've known, like, you know, since high school, called me up last week. I think it was early in the week, and pretty much told me, hey, I'm going to Disney in 6 weeks. How come I can't find any character dining?
Oh.
And I mean, I say the same thing to her that I say to everyone. I mean, like, you have a friend who loves this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
The day you decide you want to go to Disney, I need like a text or a phone call.
Totally.
Because now she's like devastated. And I'm like, well, how long have you known you're going? She's like, oh, a couple months. I'm like, really? Next time, let's just call me then.
Right.
Not 6 weeks out. Mm-hmm. You know, total Disney newbie. She's like, I went on the Disney World site, couldn't find any character meals. Where else can I look? And I'm like, no, there is nowhere else.
No.
That's it.
That's the entirety of it.
Yep.
Should have called Dave Weigert. Oh, you got a garden grill. That's good.
Yeah, we got our garden grill. And we got her a Donald's, like a Tusker House.
Well, yeah, at that point in time, it's time to start looking at the character meals that are less popular. Can you get Crystal Palace?
Nope.
Really?
Nope.
Interesting. That doesn't really bode well for how the fall's going to be.
You have no idea the chore it's been to get her to do her fast passes.
Really?
I feel like I'm like riding her on this.
But you know what? I feel like doing the fast passes that far out is only really like super important if you want to get like wishes or something like that. Like,
well, you know, she wanted to meet Elsa and Anna and that was all gone.
Really? Already?
Yeah.
Because like there are typically what I'll do on like a weekend is if I don't have a plan, or even on a weekday, if I feel like going after work, I'll boot up the My Disney Experience app, pull up a park, and see what fast passes are available,
right,
and then just snatch them up, you know, like in the morning. And typically, I can get Mine Train on any given day if I look in the morning.
Right.
I can get Soarin'. I could even get some of the fireworks shows. I haven't really looked at Princess Fairytale Hall, but
you know what it is? She's not staying on property, so she doesn't get it 60 days out. She gets it 30 days out, and like Elsa and Anna, I imagine end up going eventually. But I told her, I'm like, listen, just because you don't have fast passes for it doesn't mean that the moment you get there, when the rope drops, that's the first thing you go to.
Yeah.
If that's your priority, that's what you want to get done today, I'm like, then go do that right away.
Yeah, totally.
You know?
It may interest you to know that this weekend I am now officially a pin trader.
Oh,
yeah,
nice.
Got myself a lanyard. I ordered 50 random pins from eBay, like I had done before. Got a bunch. They were okay. Really cool pins that I got, though. I have the old school ride tickets. I have an A and C ticket pin.
Oh, neat.
But I saw a guy the other day that had all of them. And like
that's cool.
My goal is to get... So now I have to get the B, the D, and the E.
You didn't trade that Star Wars pin you supposedly have for me, did you?
No. That's actually still in New Jersey. with the rest of my pins. I made some... You see, now here's the cool thing about pin trading with cast members. They have to take whatever bogus trade you offer them. So,
well,
like,
it's funny you say that, because if the pin is bogus, they don't have to take it.
Well, that's true. But my pins are legit. So, when you order random pins, you're getting, you know, whatever they throw in the box. So I have these like random like they're like look like little fuzzy balls like that are different colors with like smiley faces on them with like spiky things on their heads.
Are those Club Penguin pins?
Maybe, yeah. I think they're Club Penguin. So I had like three of those. I got rid of all those for some good stuff. Like I got rid of the last one last night actually for a Duffy Peter Pan pin.
Oh, nice! I have that pin. Actually, I have the Duffy. I have the Duffy. I think Pinocchio pin.
Do you trade when you're down there?
I do sometimes. If I have, well, I'll typically bring like pins with me. Mm-hmm. You know where I really like to trade is in the what's it called? The Big Top.
Big Top Souvenirs?
Yeah, Big Top Souvenirs. They have a popcorn box. It's pretty big, and it has maybe 50 pins on it.
Oh, really?
And they'll bring it out and show it to you. They'll just leave it there, and you just take your pin and place it where the other pin was.
Oh, that's interesting.
But it's cool. Honestly, I like the no-pressure trades. Mm-hmm. I don't always want to go up to every cast member and check out their lanyard, and I don't always want to do that. I kind of want like a little bit of a... You know, time to look at, especially I'm with my kids. I want to let them decide.
I got rid of, I had two of those princess shoe pins. I had an Ariel and a Snow White, or an Ariel and Aurora. I got rid of those for a Statler from the Muppets and a Swedish Chef.
Oh, very cool.
Yes, and I got rid of a Mickey head strawberry for a Hitchhiking Ghost.
Oh, definitely cool.
Yes. No, it was very, 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 very cool. I'm really enjoying it. Like it's added like a whole new dimension to my trips into the parks now is pin trading.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I wouldn't be trading $10 pins, but you know, if you can do it on the side for fun, I enjoy it.
Yeah, I enjoy it. It's like, you know, $20 for 50 pins and then you trade the ones you don't want. Like,
yeah, it's perfect.
Yeah, it's fantastic.
Now you're rocking the lanyard?
I got like a black and red Mickey Mouse lanyard.
That's cool.
So yeah, it's pretty neat. I need like a little medallion for the lanyard though, because like right now there's just nothing on the end of it.
Mm.
So in other news before we get into the news proper this week, we have started the Two Men and the Mouse Fantasy Football League, or more accurately, Mikey Wisenhunt and Jeff Chaney started it. And basically, they were like on the board. They were like, hey, does Pete want to play fantasy football with us? You know.
Which, of course, I will.
Yeah. And so, yeah, you said yes right away. And then I was like, hey, guys, can I play? And everyone just kind of thought it was funny that I wanted to play, but I'm playing. So,
well, it's good that I'm playing because I stink at fantasy football.
Do you?
I mean, I love football, but I'm just not good at it. Which means either I'll crush this and totally win everything, or I'll finish in last place. So it's going to be one or the other.
I mean, let's face it. I know nothing about football, as we know, which means I'm going to win.
That's usually the way it works.
Yeah, it's pretty much what everyone is saying. Like, you're totally winning this. So, you know, there's that. I'm actually just trying to find the league right now so I can read off some of the team names, because some of them are actually pretty cool. Mikey Wisenhunt is the Cleveland Buzz. Okay, Jeff Chaney is the Grim Grinning Ghosts. Ashley Robinson is 50 Shades of Grey stuff. That's a cool one.
That's pretty funny.
Yeah. Peter Mandel is Kevin's Poncho.
Yeah, I was going to go with something that was like a dragon or a fierce mythological beast.
You went for something else that's mythological?
Yeah, I figured nothing is more, you know, crazy and unreal than Kevin's Poncho.
This is very true. John King is the Orlando Bucknut. Justin Huffman is Marceline Mayhem. Marceline, Missouri. I get it. That's cool.
There you go.
Daniel Chaney is the Arendelle Icebergs. Mark Barwick is Castillo del Maro. That's cool. Michael Nelson is just Team Nelson. Nick Austin is the Duckburg Hurricanes, because, you know, life is like a hurricane.
Right.
Yeah. Scott Farney is the Adventurers Club Adventurers. Bill Clifton is the T.C. Williams Titans. And Dave, which I don't know if that's Dave Weichert or not, is just Team 14. I don't know if that's Dave Weichert or not, but
could be.
And my team is the UNORC Eclipse.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah. At first it was the New York Eclipses, but I didn't like how that sounded. I was like, I can just kind of make it like the Orlando Magic, like, you know.
Yeah.
It's the UNORC Eclipse. So, there we go. So, we'll be giving updates on that probably as it goes on, but you know, very briefly. We won't waste everybody's time with fantasy football talk, but you know, So, okay, moving along, Peter Mandel. You ready to jump into the show proper?
Let's do it real.
All right, folks. So some mousekeeping items before we begin. If you are an online shopper who's going to be doing any shopping on Amazon in the coming weeks, please go to whitedragonpodcastnetwork.com. Click the Amazon link at the top of the page. Takes you to the same Amazon page you've always gone to, only the White Dragon Podcast Network gets a small percentage back of what you purchase. If you are looking to sponsor the network in a more direct manner, you can always head to whitedragonpodcastnetwork.com/sponsor to make a small monetary donation to the upkeep of the network. No matter how small, it's always appreciated. And also, folks, I'm always asked where we get the listener feedback that we read aloud on the show, and that is over at our Facebook discussion group, facebook.com/groups/2menandthemouse. And also, we are now on Periscope. I'm periscoping from the parks pretty consistently now. I just periscoped Sunny Eclipse live in concert the other day, which was pretty neat.
So you bootlegged Sunny Eclipse?
I did, yeah. It was okay. I was right in front of him. He saw me. He gave me a little nod of the head.
Yeah, he knew what was happening.
Yeah, he knew. He raised his eyebrows at me, actually. And folks, we love hearing from you, so if you ever have something you want to contribute to the show, please give our voicemail line a call, 804-537-2MEN. That's 804-537-2. MEN. All right, and the news this week brought to you by Dave Weikert of Magical Travel, who will plan all your Disney travel needs at no additional cost to you. Dave Weikert of Magical Travel. Okay, so ready for some worldwide news, because we have quite a bit this week.
Oh, good. I like to hear that.
So allergy-friendly menus are now in place all throughout Walt Disney World.
Okay.
So what does that mean? So they've been rolling them out like in testing phases, but now pretty much all table and counter service eateries throughout the parks have allergy friendly menus. So they cover all common allergies, including gluten, wheat, milk, peanut, nut, and fish. So it's not as necessary now. Like if you have a gluten allergy, you don't have to have the chef come out to your table. They will still do it if it makes you feel more comfortable, but you don't have to anymore because there are allergy friendly menus now. So.
I can't tell you how many people I know who part of my recommendation to Disney World as a vacation spot
is because of that.
Is because of that. It's because they will work with you and your allergies.
Yeah, totally. Continuing, did you have anything else to add to that?
No.
Okay. So Run Disney has announced a Star Wars Dark Side race weekend coming up.
Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah, pretty neat. So the Star Wars half marathon, The Dark Side, it includes kid races, a 5K, and a 10K in addition to the actual half marathon itself. The half marathon will go throughout Epcot, Disney's Animal Kingdom, Disney's Hollywood Studios, and finishes at the ESPN Wide World of Sports Complex. So now, as always, there are race challenges for you to wet your race bib with. The Dark Side Challenge is to run the 10K and the half marathon on two consecutive days. Oof. You get a commemorative Death Star medal if you do that.
Okay.
So and then the Kessel Run Challenge is to complete the Star Wars half marathon missions on both coasts, so Disneyland and Walt Disney World. You get a commemorative coast-to-coast medal inspired by the Millennium Falcon. I just want to do that because it's the Kessel Run.
Yeah, how many parsecs does that take?
I want to say that I did it in less than 12. So.
Right.
Race weekend is April 14th to 17th. Starts on my 31st birthday.
You should totally do it.
I'm actually thinking about it.
Listen, let me tell you something, Kevin. I need to find someone who does these races.
Mm-hmm.
Not because I want to be involved or run the races. I want the sneakers.
Okay.
And will gladly pay for the sneakers. I just have no way.
All right. Well, they haven't announced the pricing yet, but once they announce the pricing, I'm going to look and see if I can do it. The registration opens September 22nd over at RunDisney.com. So I'll let you know if I'm doing it.
Yeah, I would love it if you did it. And not because I care about your race ability. Mm-hmm. I just selfishly want sneakers.
Well, what's cool is like one of my best friends, my friend Rachel, she's one of my four sisters, my four best female friends. But she's coming down that weekend and she's a big runner. So I called her all excitedly like, oh, my goodness, like they're doing this like the weekend that you're here. So she's probably going to do it, too. If I don't run the race, I'm at least going to volunteer at it.
Okay.
Because when you volunteer at the races, you get a free pass into the parks, which I don't need because I'm an annual pass holder. But then if a friend comes down, I can give them a free pass into the park for it.
That's true. And maybe it gets you access to the new era, you know, Run Disney shop.
Yeah, possibly.
For a friend who needs sneakers.
This is true. The My Disney Experience app is now allowing you to preview your photo pass photos. This is a game changer.
Saw that. Very cool.
Yes, I actually did it the other day. I used it.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, to preview some of mine.
Oh, neat.
You know what? I need to add you to my circles on there so that you can see my photos when they happen.
Oh, I would like that.
Yeah, because a friend of mine was checking out all my photos as well the other day. I don't think you can watch the ride videos yet, but Like, you can see that they exist. Like, I don't, but you can't buy them from the app yet. You can, like, it directs you to the PhotoPass website, but you can, I think you can purchase the Memory Maker from there.
Right, but for someone like me who always pre-purchases Memory Maker,
right,
it'd be nice to be able to see my pictures as they're happening.
Yes,
kind of.
Absolutely, and you can. They're all there, and it's wonderful.
What's the lag time between photo taken and photo?
You know what? I don't know because I saw it when I was at home, like just kind of playing through the app. So I'm not quite sure about that, but I think.
Yeah, next time you do, give me a heads up.
Yeah, next time I go on a PhotoPass ride, like I mean. The other night, like, it was definitely the next morning I was able to see them. So I will, like, next time I do a ride like that, I will make sure I look immediately to see if I can find them. Okay, so Downtown Disney news. Force Friday is coming this Friday, the 4th of September. Did you hear about this?
Of course.
Merchandise event. It's Pizza Wheelhouse here. This Friday, September 4th, starting at 12:01 a.m., a $50 ticket gets you early access to purchase new Star Wars and Force Awakens merchandise, including Disney Park-specific merch, exclusives, and licensed products. You also get a messenger bag.
I saw the bag. It looks kind of cool.
Yeah. I'm not gonna pay $50 to go into an event to buy more merchandise.
I wouldn't either. I mean, and to be honest with you, they do that. I mean, like, you know, here, Toys R Us is going to have the same thing. I mean, everyone pretty much is opening up at midnight for Star Wars merch that day.
So this is because they're releasing all the Force Awakens stuff?
Yeah.
Okay, that makes sense. Okay, so no resort news this week, but we do have some water park news. The Blizzard Beach refurbishment has been extended. Originally slated to start October 25th, it will now start October 4th. They're moving it up about 21 days.
Okay.
So, yeah. Magic Kingdom news. We have a bunch here, so buckle up. A new Mary Poppins meet and greet experience is taking place now in the Main Street Hub.
Ooh, just Poppins?
They were testing Poppins and Snow White, but now it's just Poppins.
Okay, no Bert, though.
No Bert, no Penguin, no nothing like that yet. Okay. But it's just Poppins. But still, Poppins in the Magic Kingdom, right by the castle, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, they used to do her right by the carousel, which made sense because of the carousel horses.
Yeah, but... So
and
now,
you got
her and Bert back then?
Yeah.
Yeah, so now it's going to be actually in the West Gardens area of the new hub, which is that nice green grassy area that you can just kind of hang out and have a picnic on. and it's right outside of Casey's Corner.
Okay.
Right by like that outdoor seating area for Casey's.
Yeah, picture with Mary Poppins with, you know, mustard all over you.
Yeah.
That's authentic.
With me, it would be like pulled pork and coleslaw all over me.
Right.
Barbecue
right.
slaw dog.
But it'd be a memory, you know what I mean? Like, yep. I remember that sandwich.
Yeah, that sandwich.
It was great.
The hot dog was good. Okay, moving along. Castle construction continues. The castle has been inaccessible for a couple weeks now. Construction walls up and everything. They've been doing some work on the forecourt right there in front of it, and then work on the stage itself. The stage work is complete, and Dream Along with Mickey is back up and running. I actually periscoped it the other day, so that's up and running again. But now in the forecourt, they're adding one of those, you know, that large, like over on Main Street, I think they have it too, where it's like, it's almost like a star that looks like a compass.
Yeah.
They're putting that right in front of the castle forecourt as well.
Okay.
So this is all the castle work is expected to be complete by the first Mickey's Not So Scary Party, Halloween party of the year, which is September the 15th. The Rose Garden walkway area is now also completed and open in the hub. That connects Fantasyland and the Tomorrowland Bridge areas by bypassing the central hub. So that's now open as well. A premium dessert package has been added to Mickey's Not So Scary Halloween Party this year.
Okay, I have to hear this.
Yeah, $69 for adults, $39 for children aged 3 to 9. How does your son feel about the fact that now that he's 10, he's considered an adult in Walt Disney World?
You know, it's funny. It goes both ways. Sometimes he's like, wow, I can't believe I'm going to eat off the adult menu. Because he likes adult food. Like, he likes fish. And he's like, oh, that sounds awesome. I'm like, yeah, plus you get adult dessert. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Or if you just want a scoop of ice cream, I'm sure they'll bring you that too.
Right.
But then some days he's like, I can't believe I'm going to be adult. Like, he likes just getting pizza sometimes.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I'll let you know next time we go how it ends up being. It could be good and bad.
So, this gets you reserved viewing for the Boo to You parade. And a Hallowishes dessert party. So, there you go. $69 and $39, respectively.
Well, I mean, listen, you know how I feel about it.
I know. You've done it before, though.
I have, and it wasn't even remotely that expensive when I did it.
No. Yeah.
You know, it's a lot of money.
In Epcot news, the food and wine kiosks are currently being installed all around World Showcase.
Nice.
Yep, they're almost all up, actually. It's pretty early, because food and wine starts September 25th, which I'm counting down the days. So, yeah, pretty early this year. And the Eat to the Beat concert series has been added to FastPass Plus.
Okay.
Yeah, it's actually a tier one attraction, joining the likes of Illuminations, Soarin', Test Track, and Living with the Land.
Well, you've seen the lines that form out there. I mean,
yeah,
people wait hours in advance.
Yeah. I mean, I actually might fast pass a few of these.
I was going to say, who are you going to do?
I might go see Fuel. I might go see... I'm definitely seeing Air Supply.
Right.
Yeah. I'm not sure about anyone else, but...
Is Smash Mouth there?
I don't remember.
Smash Mouth is my guilty pleasure. They always remind me of Disney World, because when I really first started going in the late 90s, they would play them at... Planet Hollywood and Downtown all the time.
Nice. In Disney... Oh, you know, speaking of concerts, I caught British Revolution in the UK Pavilion the other day.
Okay.
A couple weeks ago. They were awesome.
Oh, I'm sure.
Like, awesome, awesome.
Hey, have you done the Lumberjack show?
I have not. I never am, like, around at the same time. Actually, one of my friends that was down said that they tried to see the Lumberjack show and it got canceled due to, like, rain and lightning.
Right.
Which I'm like, these Canadians can do it. They're like, hey, you, Disney, we can do it. We can go out there and swing axes in the lightning. You know, see Bob over here? Bob over here has been struck by lightning 17 times out there chopping the logs. Any excuse to do my Canadian accent, really.
I know. I like it, though.
Yeah.
You got to get that Lumberjack show in there, my friend.
I do. Because I always see the log sitting there in the water, and I'm like, oh, my God, they totally do log rolling. So, like, I have to see it.
I want to know how it is.
Actually, a friend actually also said that, a friend that lives in Ohio, said that they, my friend Melissa said that she saw Off Kilter at like a state fair.
Really?
Yeah, they're still out there, my friend.
I don't know if that makes me happy or sad.
It means that maybe they'll come around here.
Yeah, bet that's over.
Probably. So, over in Disney's Animal Kingdom, DAC news, Cali River Rapids has joined the Extra Magic Hour lineup. Cali River Rapids will now be available on Animal Kingdom Extra Magic Hour days from 8 a.m. to 9 a.m.
I think I'm going to do Cali River Rapids next time.
Right in the morning?
I haven't done it in like 10 years, but I think I'm going to do it. I just haven't devised a plan for it yet. I might actually need to break out a poncho for it.
Ugh.
I don't know if I want to spend all my day soaked.
I used to go in my bathing suit to Animal Kingdom and do Cali River Rapids first and then change.
My problem is it's going to be like the first week of February.
Yeah, you might not want to do that.
You know what I mean? Like, I can't predict what it's really going to be.
I mean, you'll get wet, but you won't. I mean, it's not like it's Popeye and Bluto's Bilge-Wrap Barge.
I really like that.
I do too. So now over in Hollywood Studios, the Osborne Family Spectacle of Dancing Lights light installation has begun. I was actually in DHS yesterday, and I saw like almost all of this. Like, I don't know what's left to do because the streets of America are pretty much covered in lights right now.
Nice.
So yeah, they're gearing up.
Well, now they got to figure out a way to power them.
Yes,
lights are hung. They just got to figure out a way to make them go on.
Make sure all the bulbs are good.
Yes.
You know, one bulb goes out, the whole thing goes out. You got to go through them. Well, there's millions of twinkly little lights there. You got to get this started early. So now in sad news in Hollywood Studios, and I noticed this the other day because I went into One Man's Dream.
Okay.
And there was one, set display there that was notably absent. They've removed Walt's office.
Okay.
Yeah. It's been there since October of 2001 as part of the 100 Years of Magic celebration. Yep. And, it's believed to be returning to the Walt Disney Family Museum. The window of the office is now covered with a Disneyland map.
So,
no more Walt's office, which does not bode well for the future of this attraction.
No, yeah, that's going to bum me out. So.
I would like to think that maybe they'd move it somewhere else.
Nah, they won't.
Probably not.
What's your favorite thing in there, by the way?
Jeez, what is my... I mean, I really like that area where, like, Walt is, like, doing the Epcot map.
Yeah, it's cool. I always take a picture with the camera.
I always sit there by like the old school camera and you know, do that. But I really like the area right by where you go into the theater where you could see like all the different Disney castles and like models.
Yeah, the miniatures.
Yeah, I really like that a lot.
My favorite thing there, hands down, because I think this is the only way you're ever going to see one. I love the multiplane camera.
Yeah.
I think that thing is so cool.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. All right. Ready to take a quick commercial break?
Let's do it.
All right, folks, we're going to take a quick break, and then we will be right back with our e-ticket attraction of the week. So stay tuned. More Two Men and the Mouse coming at you right after this. You know, Pete, it's hard work planning a Disney vacation.
Of course.
Your whole family has to get going. You got to pack everything up. You got to figure out where you're eating. You got to figure out where you're staying. But you know what makes life so much easier and makes your trip planning a more fun experience?
Tell me. That sounds like something I need.
Absolutely. You need a travel agent.
Do we know one of those?
We absolutely do. We know our good friend and sponsor, Dave Weikert of Magical Travel, the official travel agent of Two Men and the Mouse, folks.
We've both used him.
Yes, we have. Dave Weikert plans our Disney vacations all the time, and we would not recommend him if we didn't use his services ourselves. Dave started his Cranford-based business here in 2008, and in that time has been planning hundreds of Walt Disney World vacations. Dave plans every trip as if it were his own, and you will never find someone more passionate about Disney. Very easy to work with, and will do his best to make sure you're satisfied. Working with Dave, you're likely to pay less and get more. And what's better than that, Peter Mandel?
Tell me.
You never pay a charge for Dave's services. It is 100% free. Dave will plan your entire trip for no additional cost to you.
That sounds awesome.
Absolutely. Dave has helped over 875 families enjoy their Disney vacations. A graduate of the College of Disney Knowledge, Dave has visited every Disney World resort and has personally stayed at 12 Disney World resorts. He's dined also at every Disney restaurant. He's crazy about Disney food.
That is an accomplishment.
Absolutely. I wish I could say I did
that.
That's
like the snack challenge times 10.
Yep. Dave also gives you Disney dollars for land packages and shipboard credits for any Disney Cruise Line vacations you might be going. This can be used as cash at any Disney destination or store. Traveling with kids in your party, Dave will also provide you autograph books for all your kids.
He gave them to us?
Absolutely. Your kids went down with Dave Weikert autograph books.
Of course.
Well, Disney autograph books supplied by Dave Weikert.
Depends on his name on it.
Dave simplifies your life by booking your complete vacation, including resort stay, airlines, Disney meal plans, and park passes. Also, checks daily for new discounts. When specials are announced, he immediately checks availability and rebooks your vacation at the lowest possible price. Dave can also book all your Disney dining and will do his best to get hard-to-book reservations like Cinderella's Royal Table and Be Our Guest. It's really, truly a no-brainer. Folks, take the stress out of your life. Dave Weikert of Magical Travel, the official travel agent of Two Men and the Mouse.
Do you like the Disney parks? I do too. So does my little sister. That's why we started a podcast about them. Hi, I'm Dimitri Ravanis. The name of our show is The Extra Magic Hour. You can hear new episodes each and every Thursday here on the White Dragon Podcast Network. You can also find the show on iTunes, Stitcher, anywhere you get your podcasts. Now, in addition to telling you what we love about the parks and doling out some news and tips, we'll do something a little different. We'll tell you what we hate about the parks, where the mouse can improve, and we'll do some fighting. Well, not fighting. We call it friendly debate. Things that Disney fans have been debating and arguing about forever and ever. You'll hear them played out in real time between a brother and a sister every Thursday right here on the White Dragon Podcast Network.
Hey, WDPN listeners. This is Allie Eibler from the Geek Watchtower. And as you know, we live in the golden age of geek culture. With all the movies, television shows, comic books, video games encompassing the world of geekdom, it can be a real chore to keep up with all of it. Well, here on the White Dragon Podcast Network, we have a little something called the Geek Watchtower. Kevin Kessler, Chris Doherty, and I run down the latest geek news items every Friday morning for you, before we focus on a fandom feature topic of the week. We're talking about everything from Batman to the Avengers, anime, Doctor Who, Disney, Nintendo, and so much more. So make sure you join Kevin, Chris, and I every Friday morning in the Geek Watchtower, where we monitor all the things that geeks watch. Find it on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, and of course at WhiteDragonPodcastNetwork.com.
Hey guys, this is Corinne Chandler from Mousellaneous Discussions, the Disney television and movie talk show here on the White Dragon Podcast Network, reminding you that every Monday is Mousellaneous Monday on WDPN. Kate Smith, Kevin Kessler, and I pick a different Disney topic to discuss each week, ranging from top five lists to movie reviews to major announcements coming out of the Walt Disney Company. Then we close the show out with Kate's Disney Recipe of the Week, where she'll teach you how to make a variety of dishes only found in Walt Disney World, and I pose a trivia question to you all, meant to test your knowledge of all things Disney. So please tune in every Monday morning on iTunes, Stitcher, and WhiteDragonPodcastNetwork.com for a new and magical episode.
Nobody cares, Corinne.
Shut up, Kevin. I'm plugging your network.
Oh. Okay, keep going. I like your announcer voice.
Thank you. Mousellaneous Discussions on WDPN. Come join us and let's get magical.
Hello, I'm Storybook Julius, the White Dragon Podcast Network's resident Canadian and the host of Storybook Radio, a Walt Disney World and Universal Studios podcast appearing every Wednesday here on WDPN. Walt Disney was a storyteller, and well, so am I. Now, I'm not saying that I'm as cool as Walt Disney or anything, but I'm saying that if you're looking for a unique take on the Walt Disney World and Universal Studios theme parks, with immersive looks at their stories, backstories, and histories, you've come to the right place. Head on over to iTunes, Stitcher, or Podomatic to subscribe to and download the Storybook Radio podcast each and every Wednesday. You can also check out www.storybookradio.com for more details and more content.
Hey, WDPN listeners. My name is Susie, and this is Figgy. And we want to tell you about my podcast for professional pet groomers called The Groom Pod. My friend Barbara Bird and I chat about everything related to the pet grooming industry. If you happen to be a pet groomer, please check out our show. If you happen to be friends with a pet groomer, tell them about the show. You can find us on Stitcher, on iTunes, on Facebook, at www.thegroompod.com, and of course, on the White Dragon Podcast Network. Thanks for listening.
Hi there, this is Monica Pinto from the Mouse in Our House podcast, inviting you to join me here every other Friday for all things Disney from my perspective. Let's face it, with our fast-paced lives in a crazy world, always running from one place to another, from hectic work days to family responsibilities, from household chores to those never-ending errands, it sometimes seems impossible to survive until your next Disney trip. How to turn that around? Easy, by keeping a little bit of that Disney magic in our everyday lives. So go ahead, sit back, relax, grab a cup of coffee and a little something sweet, and let's chat Disney. Join me here on the White Dragon Podcast Network every other Friday, where we'll celebrate all the magic, all the fun, all the memories, and even some stuff that's not so magical. But don't worry, a little bit of pixie dust should take care of that. So until then, I hope you remember to keep the mouse in your house.
Hey folks, Kevin Kessler from the White Dragon Podcast Network here. One of the questions I get asked all the time is, Kevin, I want to have a podcast, but I have no idea what I'm doing. I don't know anything about audio equipment. I don't know anything about editing. I don't know anything about how to post and promote a podcast. Well, folks, you are in luck, because what if I told you there is a way you can have your podcast with minimal effort from you and still be a part of the White Dragon Podcast Network, joining the family of 9 all-star podcasts that are already broadcasting 7 days a week here on WDPN. For a free consultation, please send an email to kevin@whitedragonpodcastnetwork.com, and I will tell you personally how we can take care of everything from the production to the editing to the posting to the server space to promotion of your podcast. I want to welcome you into the White Dragon Podcast Network family, so please drop me a line, kevin@whitedragonpodcastnetwork.com. I look forward to welcoming you into the White Dragon Podcast Network. Folks, I think you can arguably make the point that photos are the key component to any Disney trip, because the way our vacations and our magical experiences live on in our lives is through the photos that we take. So that always brings up the question is, well, where do you take photos? Like, where are the best spots in Walt Disney World to take photos? At what point does the beauty and majesty and magic of it all capture your imagination so much that you feel like this moment has to be captured forever? And I feel like for each person, that's kind of a different thing. And that's why, like, I thought it would be really interesting. And Pete actually came up with the idea when I said, let's do a top 10 this week. And I was talking about maybe like the top smells or top sights. And Pete said, what about pictures? And I thought it'd be a really cool idea if we did like the top 10 picture locations throughout all of Walt Disney World. And this is not going to be like the castle, Spaceship Earth. Like, no. The way we're going to do this is it's going to be more specific things. Like maybe it's a picture of the, maybe there'll be 3 pictures of the castle on here, but from different angles and different locations. So this week for our e-ticket attraction of the week, Pete and I are proud to present the top 10 Disney photo locations. Ready for this one, buddy?
I am. And you know, I really like that it's not character pictures.
Yes, and character pictures were outlawed in this.
Right, because I like that too, but I really feel like, getting some good pictures. Disney's so... I mean, listen, pictures are my favorite souvenirs. You know, it's the thing that stays with me, you know, years and years later. We look at them all the time. So right. to have some pictures of really the dynamic stuff that's, you know, visual at Disney World, it's just, it's almost hard to take bad pictures at Disney.
Yeah.
But this is a top 10 of great spots to take them.
Most certainly. And this list was not just like, you know, decided on a whim. The careful consideration was put into these locations.
Right. Although I'm sure we missed something.
I'm sure we did too. That's why we pull our friends around the world. Okay, so let's start. Let's kick it right off with number 10 right here.
Let's do it.
Number 10 is I chose. This was one of mine. And Pete kind of threw me a bone by letting it be number 10. This is a place that I always have to take a picture, and I mean like always. Like every time I've gone, I've taken a picture here because it's something near and dear to my heart. It's one of the few Hollywood Studios photo locations on this list, and it is the Muppets Fountain with view of the theater behind it. So, yeah, Muppet Vision 3D, that awesome fountain. Piggy is Lady Liberty. You know, Kermit's there, Gonzo, Fozzie, like the whole kit and caboodle. I love water in pictures. Like, I love when pictures can get water because I just think water, like fountains especially, like frozen in a moment, just makes such a striking image. So
now, let's just say you got to wait for a second, though, because you got to wait for Piggy to turn.
Yeah, you got to wait for her to start spinning.
Right, yeah.
Well, actually, the other day I went, every time I've gone by there recently, she's not spinning anymore.
What?
Yeah, she's just facing front.
Oh, all right. That's not bad.
So, yeah.
Saves you the effort.
Yeah. Yeah. A little bit of an easier photo to take. But
right.
I'm not sure if that's a permanent thing or if that's just the last couple times that I've gone by.
Well, let's just say that, you know, I mean, say what you will about the Sorcerer hat. You know, you loved it, you hated it. I will say, awesome in pictures. I mean, that would have definitely cracked our top 10 if it was on there. But, you know, with no real weenie to take a picture of anymore in studios.
Right.
Honestly, I bet you this fountain's our only picture.
There is one more? There is one more, yeah.
Okay, good. I'm glad to hear that.
All right, so now for the next picture, we're going to take a trip probably to the most photographed park in all of Walt Disney World, that being the Magic Kingdom.
Definitely.
Yeah. So now this is one that Pete came up with. It's one that he tends to take all the time, and that is the Tomorrowland Archway. So why don't you tell a little bit about this?
Well, a little bit different, because if you go down that little pathway that takes you from the hub to Tomorrowland, there are a string of PhotoPass photographers who will gladly take your picture, but they are taking your picture at different pictures with the castle in the background.
Yeah.
So it's kind of all the same depending on where you stop. But you get that last one down the bridge. And I always ask them, I'm like, I don't want the castle in the background. Can you take a picture of us with the Tomorrowland Arch with that really cool looking, you know, almost steampunk, you know, design up there? I'm like, can we get that? And they're always like thrilled to do it.
Yeah.
Because no one ever wants that. Everyone wants the castle.
Right.
So, and it makes such a great picture.
It does.
By the way, day or night, because that thing lights up really cool at night.
Oh, and so cool.
No one gets that picture. And I've taken that picture, by the way, super crowded. I mean, with people everywhere, doesn't matter. It still comes out so cool.
Yep.
I mean, it's almost, you know, of course everybody wants, you know, just them in the picture, not another human being. But, you know, sometimes when you get a really neat picture and there's a ton of people, it really comes out neat.
Yes. Yeah, definitely. But, you know, I've also found that, you know, I never really, I sometimes don't appreciate that bridge as much because I don't typically enter Tomorrowland through there.
Okay.
I will typically go through Fantasyland to get in there, like, because I like to pass Cosmic Rays.
Right.
Yeah, just make sure my friend's in there performing away.
He doesn't get too many breaks.
No, not at all. Okay, yeah, so that's a good one. I'm actually going to have that picture taken soon. Okay, so the next one is actually back over to DHS. It's our only other DHS one, and that is in front of the Tower of Terror.
Yeah, you know, I forgot about that. That's a really good one. I do it every time.
Mm-hmm. And if you do the photo pass with it, they can magic it up to make it look old-timey.
Yeah, and it's neat. I mean, I always photo pass that picture. To be honest with you, the last couple times I've gotten it first thing in the morning. So when I say there's no one in my picture, it's almost like when I do the Crystal Palace breakfast and I kind of get Main Street sorted to myself. It's pretty similar. I like it too. They'll do some magic shots with like Stitch busting out of the ground.
Yep.
I remember I did one. I mean, Ethan was a little bit smaller, so it was a lot easier for me to do, where I like picked him up and he was like screaming, like he was like falling for Tower of Terror. I don't know. I always find they have a lot of fun on that street, so it's kind of cool to do it. And what a great background. You know me, I don't even like Tower of Terror.
And I famously don't like Tower of Terror,
right,
as we found
right.
out.
So, I mean, it's just a cool, cool background piece.
I agree. I definitely agree. And, you know, I think it's really neat, to take that picture at night when the tower is all lit up.
Well, it lights up so great.
It does. You know? Like, they really do a good job of lighting that.
Nice little honorable mention, too, if you keep going down a little bit. The giant guitar for Rock and Roll.
Yeah, that is pretty cool. Didn't make the list, but it's an honorable mention.
No. But a little specific, but cool picture.
So now over in Epcot, obviously the big picture you always want to get is a Spaceship Earth picture, but where to get a Spaceship Earth picture is always the question. So
now, there's different ways, right?
Yep. So now, like, you could take it from afar pretty easily, but to get close up, like right in the front of that park, Pete's got one location above all else that he likes to go to.
Are you talking about my Leave a Legacy picture?
Yes.
Listen, I know it's common. Everyone's like, oh, really? That's no surprise. It is just the best picture. If you go too far deep, because they will also take your picture near the fountain, you're really just getting the bottom. You want to get the entire Spaceship Earth in your picture. And I really like that now, that little, where they have the topiaries, you always get kind of cool Disney topiaries with you and the entire spaceship. Getting the entire ball in there is kind of essential.
Totally.
And that's at the same time, it's still giant. It really eats up your picture. So it's a really cool backdrop. It's not super far away. It's not so close. I can't get the whole thing. Mm-hmm. That picture spot to me is always worth the wait, because there's usually lines. There's usually multiple photographers and lines.
Yep.
But it's just a fantastic picture. And you can just take it yourself. You don't even need, you know, PhotoPass for that.
Yeah. For number six, I said, This is one of mine that I always have to get, and I feel like this is another pretty obvious one, but I like the mouth of Main Street, like right at the end of the Main Street hub, looking down at the main hub with the castle in it, like, because you get all of Main Street and you get the castle at the end of it. I think it's just a tremendous picture to always take, because I love the dichotomy of the old Marceline, Missouri Main Street USA with this fairy tale castle in the background. It's just such an iconic image.
I like that picture too, and honestly, it's more for Main Street than the castle.
Yeah, to be honest, I mean, Cinderella Castle, I believe, is one of the most photographed buildings on planet Earth.
Yeah, it's probably the most.
Something like 3,000 pictures or something like that taken daily. But I can't get enough of that shot down Main Street.
I always feel like the sight lines are really good.
Yeah,
you know, because Main Street kind of gives you that. There's really no way to take a bad picture shooting down that way.
Which, yeah, obviously it was designed like that.
Right. Love it. I mean, that's, again, I don't take one of those pictures per trip. I probably end up taking 10 different ones.
Exactly.
It's such a great picture.
Sometimes I'll just take that picture without anyone actually being in.
Oh, I do that too. I always do that.
Okay, so number five. This is our only Animal Kingdom of the day, and this is one that you brought up, because it's one of your secret locations.
Yeah, it's one of those ones I see everyone walk by, which makes me a little bit angry. And I will say that this is typically a photo pass spot, and there's almost not enough room to take a, you know, do it yourself. But, you know, they'll gladly take it with your camera. There is, I don't remember the exact location. I know it's Discovery Island. Behind the Tree of Life, like on the Africa side.
Yes.
There's a little cutout in the foliage, if you will. And when I say it's the perfect shot of the Tree of Life, it is fantastic, because the foliage actually frames your picture.
That's
with
great.
The entire Tree of Life. So it's so cool. I see people walk by all the time. They
lonely
typically
PhotoPass photographer.
Yeah, they typically have a PhotoPass photographer just hanging out there.
Yeah.
Now, and I mean, it's insane. I've taken so many pictures of the Tree of Life that, you know, I don't want to say they're lame, but they're kind of all the same. And this one, I just feel, is hands down the best one.
Right, because, you know, Cinderella Castle and Spaceship Earth are so iconic, but the Tree of Life is just so impressive.
Yeah, it's really cool.
I would say the Tree of Life is probably the most impressive of the landmarks.
I could buy that.
Just because of all the work that went into it, clearly. Like, I'm always seeing different animal carvings that I never noticed before. I love the way the roots come all the way down. There's animals on the roots. Like, I absolutely love the Tree of Life. I think it's breathtaking. I even love the color of the leaves. Just everything about it just screams amazing.
I can remember the first time I saw it. I thought it was cool. And when we got closer to do Tough to Be a Bug, and we really got to see it. I mean, honestly, from afar, I wasn't even paying attention. That's just, you know, my first trip. I wasn't even really paying attention to it. And when I saw what it was, I mean, so cool.
Yeah, very, very cool. Okay, moving along then. Number four, we're going back to the Magic Kingdom here. I will say for our top four, three out of the four are Magic Kingdom, so brace yourselves.
That makes sense.
Yep, number four comes to us with some ghoulish delight. We knew a Haunted Mansion picture had to be on the list, but we were trying to figure out where's the best way to get a shot of the Haunted Mansion. I brought up the ghost hearse, but Pete brought up the point that like you kind of have to wait in line to get to that one. Like, there's really no way to get to it if you're not online for the attraction.
And it's never going to be a clean shot. I've tried a million times. Yeah. Unless it's empty over there, you're not really getting a clean shot.
Correct.
I actually think the best way to get a picture of the Haunted Mansion, like, the farther away you are, the better.
Yeah, because you want to get the whole building in there.
It sounds silly, but even if you can get the Haunted Mansion from far away, almost even looks better. Because it's so... It's just... I guess because of the way that it's set up.
It looks so foreboding also. And like to see it off in the distance, I think, is like the way you've always been supposed to see it.
Yeah, it's great. And there's tons of great viewpoints of the Haunted Mansion from over there.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you know, at nighttime it lights up awesome.
Yeah, tremendous. That's why I think it's best to do it at night. So the ideal place that we were talking about is pretty much right outside the Columbia Harbor House looking towards the mansion. So, like, right kind of, like, by where that portal is right there. Right outside the Columbia Harbor House, looking down, you know, at the Haunted Mansion, especially at nighttime when it's all lit up and ghoulish, I think no better Haunted Mansion picture than that.
Yeah, you might be right. I mean, it's such a great spot.
Okay, so number three. Now, in the world of castle pictures, and yes, there are, I believe, three castle pictures on the list here. So this would be the second of them. This is one that you said you called the perfect castle picture.
Yeah, it's fast become my favorite.
Yeah. So go ahead and tell the story here.
I think it's really simple, and I take it pretty much at the same time on every trip. Right outside of Crystal Palace is, when you're walking from Main Street over Crystal Palace, there's a little area. It's almost like a mini hub in front of Crystal Palace,
right?
And you get the perfect picture of the castle. Now, let me say, I haven't been there since they've redone the hub area, so I don't know exactly what it looks like right now.
It's kind of taken up a little bit by like the new stuff, so it's a little different. But that same vicinity, I think, is still perfect.
Yeah, I mean, when we were there and they were doing the construction, this was pretty much still outside the construction wall. So, I mean, I doubt they actually changed this spot. And I know for the longest time, this was actually a Kodak, you know, photo spot.
Yeah.
Which, you know, typically tells you this is a fantastic spot. But, you know, the castle is so big in the background. You're not so far away that it's going to look small. Yet at the same time, you're not so close that you're not getting the whole thing. It is the perfect spot for a family picture.
That was my typical Wishes viewing location.
Oh, man, you can't beat that, huh?
No, it's perfect location for Wishes. Because typically the first night, I would go to Crystal Palace and then come right out of Crystal Palace and camp out right there to watch Wishes.
Right.
So, like, that was kind of strategically done like that. Okay, so moving along, our number two takes us back to Epcot. And this is my favorite Epcot picture by far. Like, after we mentioned what our number one is, I mentioned this one right away because this is one of my favorite photos. And this is the Japan Pavilion through the archway with the view of Spaceship Earth. No better Epcot picture than that.
Yeah, I mean, it's so weird to think like that's like the best picture in Epcot. But you know what? No one who goes to Disney World and has taken a picture has not taken that picture.
And it captures so perfectly the spirit of Epcot, because it's World Showcase, something that is just very foreign with that archway. It's very Japanese.
Right.
Coupled with Future World and Spaceship Earth.
Yeah, no, I mean, listen, that's designed like that on purpose. Yeah. I mean, it is built so that everyone will go and take that picture, which actually, I got to tell you, I'm surprised. It's not even a hard picture to take. There typically aren't people that are taking that picture, but I mean, it's fantastic.
Yeah, I mean, there's always a PhotoPass photographer there. It's one of the few one of the surprisingly few PhotoPass photographers that you can find in
Showcase.
World Showcase. Like, I would think that they'd be everywhere in World Showcase. They're really not.
Yeah, you know, it's weird. I've seen them like in Germany and stuff, and I'm like, oh, that's great. I can't wait to get that picture again. And then I never see them ever again. So it's weird. You see them in the countries. I mean, they're in France a lot. I mean, I guess they're not there all the time.
And you know what? Like, this is actually something from the news that I saved to now because I wanted to bring it up during this. Part of the new app features with PhotoPass,
right?
There's a PhotoPass photographer map on the app now. So you know where the PhotoPass photographers are at all times.
Yeah, but that's just going to give you the standard locations, not the roaming photographers.
That's true.
So, you know, it's probably nothing you don't already know ahead of time, unfortunately.
Yeah. I mean, not everybody knows that. Not everybody's crazy like us.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
So, all right, ready for number one?
Number one.
Number one. And yes, you know, it's iconic. It's tremendous. It's the partner statue with the castle in the background.
Yeah,
don't,
I mean,
don't you look at us like that, people. This had to be number one.
I get it. I mean, listen, vanilla ice cream is the best ice cream. There's no arguing it. You know, I mean, this is the reason. It's the iconic Disney World shot.
Yeah.
100%. You have to get it.
110%. It's actually our logo for Two Men and a Mouse. So
there you go.
You know, I love to get a picture there with just... You got to get that perfect shot of the statue with the castle. And it's just like, I find that if you stand just off to the right, you can get that perfect, perfect shot.
Yeah. I mean, again, you're never, you know, I should say not never, but it's unlikely you're going to get this shot devoid of other human beings.
Yeah.
It's just
maybe
a mess.
You get that Crystal Palace breakfast.
Right. But, you know, if you can, I take enough of this. I pretty much take this picture every time I go to Magic Kingdom. So if I'm hitting MK multiple times in a trip, I will take this picture every time, much to my wife's chagrin. But because I'm positive one of them is going to be that perfect picture.
Right.
So that's kind of almost why I do it.
Yeah. I like it standing off to the right because I like the partner statue to be on the left with the castle kind of in the background on the right. Because, I don't know, there's just something about the partners. Like, if you're reading left to right, I just like the partner statue and then the castle right after it.
I get that.
Yep. Okay, ready to hear what our friends around the world had to say about this topic?
Definitely.
Oh, I'm always ready to hear. And Ravanos from over at the Extra Magic Hour here on the White Dragon Podcast Network, which drops every Thursday, I will add, says, you have to play with your angle a little bit, but standing in front of the carousel with the castle behind you, especially while the fireworks are going off, Disney picture perfection. That's a cool castle picture, the rear castle picture.
Yeah, I've taken that picture. I mean, it's hard to get. You can't redo it with people in the picture.
Yeah.
But as just a scenic picture, very cool.
Samuel Murphy says the Splash Mountain ride photo, but if that doesn't count, there's a smoking area behind the castle that offers a really close, really cool close-up shot. Katarina Dupre, who is actually in Walt Disney World right now, says the Tower of Terror sign in front of the ride. If you use a PhotoPass photographer, they make it look like it's a photo from the 1940s.
Very cool.
Joshua Brennan says, love the Christmas tree in front of Dak during the holidays and at the top of the Swiss Family Treehouse for a great selfie with an awesome backdrop. I've never tried that because I've never been in the Swiss Family Treehouse.
Really?
Yeah. That actually sounds like a cool shot.
We did it when we went last time. We were there like kind of when the park first opened, and I've never done this before, but we went up in the treehouse kind of first thing in the morning. And I got to tell you, you get a lot of cool pictures in there.
Yep.
It's neat. Perspectives are cool.
Tim Elbing says, in Magic Kingdom, I love taking pictures right in front of the train station, looking down Main Street towards the castle, in Epcot through the pagoda at the Japanese Pavilion during the sunset, DHS framing the Chinese Theater and the handprints, and Animal Kingdom looking up through the prayer flags by Everest.
Okay.
Yep, Stacey Gregory says, I like this photo from the top of Splash Mountain. You can see pretty much all the Magic Kingdom and the silhouette of Mickey's profile. Which she posted the photo. It's like right before the drop. And yeah, I'm noticing right now, did you ever notice this? That like the rocks on the left side there kind of make Mickey's face.
Yeah, it's cool, right?
Yeah, I never noticed that before. Did you?
Yep.
I'll look for that next time. Michael Kessler says, looking at the castle from the windows of the Starlight Cafe. I've never looked through the windows of Starlight Cafe because my attention's always fixed on one point.
Yeah, I didn't even know there were windows.
Yeah, go figure. Adam Blistein says, I love trying to line up the partner statue with the castle. Susie Scott says, King Triton's Carousel in Disney's California Adventure. It's themed to the sea, and it's colorful and unique. That's from Susie from the Groom Pod.
It's a good carousel.
Aaron Callahan says, from inside the teacups with everyone whizzing by in the background. That's neat.
Yeah, that's cool.
If I went on the teacups more, that would be a picture I would take. Mikey Wisenhunt of Fantasy Football fame says, I love the way our nighttime in front of Spaceship Earth turned out. The way the multicolored lights hit it, my favorite photo from our trip. Ashley Robinson says, I know you said the castle is generic, but it's really wonderful when the light catches it a certain way. I got this pic after a summer shower was clearing up in the early evening last year. This actually looks like it might be from that area in front of Crystal Palace, but I'm not entirely sure.
Okay.
So, Nicholas Austin says the Tower of Terror queue at night is a pretty neat place to take pictures, and he posted one. Melissa Steele Melissa Steele actually asked Ashley Robinson if she was standing over by Splash Mountain for that castle shot. And she said, not sure. I remember I hadn't long left Liberty Square. So, yeah, it was probably over by, yeah, that area. Gigi Pistone says, at the fountain in the Italy Pavilion. It's my favorite park, favorite pavilion, and where I was proposed to, which now makes that area much more special. That's really nice.
Is that the one with Poseidon or whoever that is?
Yeah, it's something like that. Yeah, Neptune.
Right.
Seth Berman says, we'll post a few tonight, have to get to my extended drive. Seth is a photographer, I believe. So,
cool.
Yeah, I definitely want to do one on like photography. We're just kind of talking this one about, you know, just general picture, like family pictures. But I want to do an episode in the future about like photography. Leah Alton says, we love taking photos in front of the waterfalls in Canada. Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. Canada.
There you go.
Right there in the Canada Pavilion, right in the home and native land. You know, it's a Canadian. It just makes me want to get a donut and drink a Moosehead lager and then head over to the Canadian Tire. It's like their Walmart version, basically. She says, also the fountain in Epcot with Spaceship Earth in the background. Yeah, Fountain of Nations is definitely cool.
Yeah. Yeah, if you're going like the reverse way.
Yeah. Amanda Welker says, castle photos, second to last photo pass photographer before you get to the hub. You can still see all the castle. It isn't too small or it isn't too big. She also said partner's photo, the photo pass photographer on Walt's side of the statue, but that was pre-hub completion. Epcot taking a selfie right by the water outside of China or the waterfall outside of Maelstrom. Well, not Maelstrom anymore. She says, is that waterfall still going to be there with the new Frozen ride? I don't know.
Maybe it'll be Frozen.
Yep. And she says, and one thing I always photograph, the cast members who served us at the restaurants we eat at. They're always an amazing part of our magic, and I love remembering them. That's neat.
Huh.
Jeff Cheney says, we took a great photo with the mountain in the back of Animal Kingdom. Nicholas Austin says, since we're talking about pictures, this one's for, he said, for me, for Kevin. And it's a shot of the Muppet fountain looking up at the hot air balloon. Kate Pern says, we always get a pic in front of our resort and at the entrance to each park. Fun to look back and see how the kids have grown over the years, and the best shot of all, seeing the welcome sign while driving onto the property. And finally, Michael Fernandez says, on top of the train station looking down Main Street. That's a good one, on top of the train station.
Yeah, yeah, that's guy who usually do that one,
that's
too.
That's probably what we should have said. All right, so that's what our friends around the world had to say.
You know, I will say there was one time, I always take a picture in our car at Sci-Fi. Like, I'll have our waitress take the picture. And I was there and I asked our waiter, I was like, hey, can you take a picture of us? And he was like, I don't know why you'd want that, but sure. And he like took my camera and took like a selfie of like me and him.
Okay.
Which I always thought was very funny.
That is funny. All right. So that about does it for the list. This was a fun list.
Yeah, yeah, it's great.
I always love our top 10 episodes.
Yeah, me too. I mean, they make you think, and you know.
So, Peter Mandel, anything else to add this week?
Nah, that's about it. Go take some pictures, people.
Yeah. Well, then, I guess that's going to do it for 2 Men in the Mouse this week, folks. Thank you so much for joining us. We always love doing top 10 lists for you. We always love when you guys contribute over at the discussion group, facebook.com/group/2meninthemouse. Folks, please give our social media pages some love. You can find us on Facebook at facebook.com/WD Podcast Network. We are on Twitter at White Dragon PN, Instagram as White Dragon Podcast Network, and now Periscope as White Dragon Podcast Network. Also, folks, also always remember that you can join in the Disney conversation with us and all of our great friends from around the world, and hear your name right on the show over at the Facebook discussion group, facebook.com/groups/2menandthemouse. If you want your questions answered on the show, please send an email to questions@2menandthemouse.com. And folks, if you like the show, please do us the honor of sharing it. Tweet it out, talk it up, share it on your Facebook page. Tell a friend about it. Tell a family member about it. Just, you know, turn someone else on to the show. Every little bit helps us out tremendously. It's only through your kind words of praise that this show will continue to grow. If you love our good friend Peter Mandel here and his great comic book store, you should visit him at Rogue Comics in Cranford, New Jersey, 105 North Union Avenue, Cranford, New Jersey, 07016, or go to roguecomics.com, where you can find a link to Pete's eBay store. If you are planning a trip to Walt Disney World, Disneyland, Disney Cruise, Adventures by Disney, any Disney resort throughout the known world, or Aulani out in Hawaii, please look up our good friend and sponsor, Dave Weikert of Magical Travel. You can always find Dave on Facebook as Magical Travel Dave, or email him, dave@magicaltravel.com.
And for me, folks, please check out all the other great programming here on the White Dragon Podcast. And we have 5 Disney shows every single week for you. Mouselanius on Monday, 2 Men and the Mouse on Tuesday, Storybook Radio on Wednesday, the Extra Magic Hour on Thursday, and The Mouse in Our House every single Friday morning here on the White Dragon Podcast Network. Every other Friday morning here on the White Dragon Podcast Network. Folks, thank you so much for joining us again this and every week. Pete, any closing words?
You know, real fast, in the world of comic books, Figment Series 2, number 1, comes out this week.
I'm very excited.
And I've heard it actually takes place in Epcot.
It does take place in Epcot. I did see the front cut, the cover is that with Spaceship Earth, right?
Yep, I mean, very cool. I can't wait to get it.
I can't wait to read this. Are you ordering, like, a whole bunch to get the variant cover again?
I mean, listen, you know, actually one of the variant covers is, it's actually what they call an action figure variant. It looks like... an old, 80s style action figure of Figment. So how could I not have that?
Yeah. How many did you have to order to get that?
It wasn't too crazy. I didn't go as bananas as I did last time.
Okay. So. All right. Please, folks, keep the magic alive every day of your lives. And we will see you next week on Two Men and the Mouse.
So there's a great, big, beautiful tomorrow. Shining at the end of every day. There's a great big beautiful tomorrow. Just a dream away.
If you're standing, please hold on to the handrails and stay clear of the doors until the monorail stops completely and the doors open. If this concludes your visit, we hope you've had a wonderful time and will return home safely. Thank you for traveling with us.